we go.
Welcome to the FTN Dynasty Podcast.
Helping you create the ultimate dynasty.
Welcome to the NFL.
Here's your host, Jeremy Popolars.
Let's go!
Welcome in, folks. We are back at it here on the FTN Dynasty Podcast. We're done with the division preview series. We're going to table that for now, and we're gonna dive into some preseason. The NFL starts tomorrow, so it's not really preseason. Early season dynasty buys and sells. I'm gonna give you two sells, two buys here today on the episode. Just discuss a little bit on the fringe there of the dynasty landscape. Right now, you're gonna be able to get some advantageous deals potentially. Season hasn't really started, or it's going to about kick off, which will give us some overreactions and underreactions. So some of these players, I think you'll see that with as well. Or you may want to try to offload them prior to the beginning of the season. Don't really think you need to make that move that drastically just yet with most of these players. When I'm looking to sell or buy, you're kind of looking, especially in the sell side, you're looking to be like a year early on some of these players, depending on where you stand as a roster. You know, that's really the first step in trading, is figuring out where your roster is, the direction of your roster, and what really needs the improvement and where you need to go from there. So for me, I think looking at this, we're going to talk about some players, a little bit bigger names. It's not always age. It's not always age cliffs. You're looking at those and obviously being predictive or proactive to make that, you know, year early, air quotes, before these players completely fall off and they're worth nothing, because then at that point you're caught holding the bag. And we don't always want that. In certain instances, it is okay to go about that approach. If you're a true contender, you know, you're going to want to hold on to these players because the points matter now. Where if you're rebuilding, maybe it's time to move on from some of these more aging pieces to go ahead and give yourself a up-and-coming type of chance of player, or just more capital to kind of send yourself into a semi-rebuild or a full rebuild, depending on the status of your roster. So again, step one, figuring out where you sit in this. So some of these names that we talk about, you know, may not be the perfect sell candidate for you, depending on the direction of your team. They may not be the perfect buy candidate for you either. Really depends, again, team dependent, league dependent, because trade values vary so heavily between teams. And that's why it's important to follow along with us here on the FTN Dynasty Podcast, as well as head on over to FTN Fantasy, sign up, and you know, you can get in on the Discord, get questions answered daily from myself, Tyler Orginski, Jeff Radcliffe, kind of most of the people hanging out in that Dynasty chat. You get all that information from all of us. You also get access to all of the Discord stuff, depending on what you sign up for. You get all the rankings. That's always fun as well. Dynasty, redraft, you name it. All the fun stuff over there in FTN Fantasy. So that stuff is very helpful. And you're going to see me reference some data points in here as well from our stats hub throughout the episode. That's a great tool to have at your helm as well as a Dynasty manager. So again, head on over there. Check it out. Some of that stuff is free to look at, but you'll also, you're going to have to go through the paywall, all right? The good stuff's behind the paywall there at FTN Fantasy, so head on over, check it out. But that's not why we're here. We're here to talk buys and sells, so let's just dive right in, folks. We'll start with the sell. We're going to go sell, buy, we'll rotate it through in there, and we're going to start off with a name that has rejuvenated his career here in the last season. Not that it was completely diminished, but we saw a decline in New York from this running back named Saquon Barkley. If you don't know who he is, he's a pretty good football player here who now plays for the Philadelphia Eagles. In his first season away from the Giants, we saw him top 2,000 rushing yards, 13 touchdowns, basically set career highs in year one with the Eagles, thus revitalizing his value in Dynasty, redraft, you name it. There was a point where he was falling down into more of that questionable, you know, RB2 territory, because it just was not really coming together in New York paired with the offense, etc. He comes to one of the better, if not the best, offensive line in the game. And we see what that can do for a running back with plethora of yards coming prior to contact here for Saquon Barkley. So the issue that I have is that Barkley is starting to enter that age cliff territory for running backs, and we're more so being a year early here. This revitalization has really opened up a sell window for Saquon Barkley, because you're going to get an absurd amount of value from that. Now, again, if you're a contending team, Barkley is not a player I'm looking to run away from. Much like I said, this anchor of an offensive line really allows Barkley's longevity to kind of also push past a little bit. You know, we've seen him with multiple injuries throughout his career, missed time, significant injuries as well. And he's had a lot of mileage as far as that goes, over 1,500 career touches. So the question really comes is, when do the wheels fall off? Barkley's kind of in that category as well, where you see some of these guys extend that age cliff. So you probably do have a little bit more paired again with that offensive line. Like I said, that had over 1,000 yards before that came on explosive runs. I mean, he was just wide open holes throughout many defenses, and paired with what is an ascending offense, an ascending team that's just right at the top of their game right now. But again, this value now, it's only going to decrease from here moving forward. Coming off that career year, his value is never higher. So for me, if I'm a middling team and I can, and this is the year with the running backs, I know the rookies have been drafted by players already at this point in the season, but maybe you can look to move Saquon Barkley for some of these younger players and double up. You know, maybe you can get a pick and someone like O'Marrion Hampton, or maybe you're one for one just based on age and value, depending on how the manager values O'Marrion Hampton. Maybe you can get into Travion Henderson or Quinshon Judkins and get good pieces back as well, and still sustain value for your roster in the interim while also building for the future and getting yourself multiple assets for one player, which is the key to a rebuild. So again, once the wheels fall off, no one's going to be paying top prices for Saquon Barkley. They will be paying pennies on the dollar, and you'll be caught holding the bag with Saquon Barkley. Not always the worst if you win a championship somewhere in there, but if you're not ready to win and compete within your league, which only you know, then the window may be now to capitalize on what was a career year for Saquon Barkley in the dynasty landscape. All right. Simple, quick, easy with Saquon Barkley. When we're talking about the buy side, running backs, a little bit tough. We're not going to really dive too much into them. I'm actually going to bring you a wide receiver here. It's up and down. I feel like he may be harder to actually acquire than what the landscape says. Based on name value, retention, investment cost from the manager that already rosters him, and that is Marvin Harrison Jr. Talked about him throughout the summer here a few times, and if you follow me on X, you've seen it. If you follow me, any of my other work at any of the other sites, etc., you're going to see that he's a player that I've still very muchly in on with Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, I've had multiple shorts here through FTN. I have him ranked fairly high still in my dynasty rankings. I still believe in the talent that is Marvin Harrison Jr. that we saw at Ohio State. I think he was utilized incorrectly last season. We saw that from kind of the routes that he was determined to run and given throughout that offense. Very little pre-snap motion, not things that he necessarily does well. He's not like a crisp route technician. He's not, you know, the Amon-Ra St. Brown. So there's no real full creativity to it. He kind of just is a very technical leverage attacker with speed and subtle movements. Now, this is not necessarily saying he can't run an in route or an post or a out route. Like, he has that ability. He's a very good athlete. The issue is that that's not really his game. You're also paired with a quarterback who doesn't really throw to NFL open players. He throws to open players. So he's not necessarily giving these players the highest opportunity to make a play in, like, say, a contested catch situation. Now, we did see positive numbers according to FTN data with Marvin Harrison. Only dropped 3.8%. This is a very good number throughout the league. We also saw him have a 22.6% explosive play rate. This was top 20 among wide receivers last season. Now, where it got concerning was kind of his yards per route run. It was only 1.7. That did fall off. That was more middle of the pack. However, what was an interesting stat that I found while digging through this was he actually had a 2.2 yards per route run when the Cardinals were leading in games, which was top 30, which I thought was pretty interesting. And then when trailing, which typically when trailing, your team's normally throwing the football a little bit more. It actually dipped all the way to 1.5 yards per route run, which was 60th. So interesting. It's a number that I expect to come up some, especially when you figure he saw top 10 numbers in deep targets with 26 and only converted on 37% of them. So there's definitely some positive regression. I think you can see that should be coming here from Marvin Harrison Jr. And I want to say that he's a player that should be fairly available to you within your league. Like, yes, you're still paying probably a hefty amount. You're not going to get him for pennies on the dollar, by no means. Still young, and I'm sure the manager, if personally I have him in a few spots, I'm not giving him away. Like, I'm going to ride this out. I spent a top 2 pick probably on him last season. Like, I'm going to ride this out. I still believe in him, and most of the managers I would think would. If you can find the one that's a little bit on the edge, there are positive data signs, like I said. I mean, he had an 18.4% red zone target share. That was near the top of the league. And he even led the team in red zone target share. So when it got to the red zone, they were still involving Marvin Harrison. I know Trey McBride was there, but a lot of Trey McBride's targets came after the first read, which is a little bit more of like the safety blanket, scrambles, making a play. Like McBride was the underneath target while Harrison was, in essence, in that type of play, running a clearing route and opening it up. But it was just Murray not really pushing the ball down the field. Expecting a year two jump and transition for chemistry between, yet let alone Murray and Harrison, as well as just maybe a development of this offense a little more, may help Harrison tremendously, as well as Harrison just getting better. We saw him all juiced up in a couple of the interviews over the offseason, which will help in his game. He's a little bit of that type, tight coverage type of player. A little bit more strength, allow him to overpower some of these corners, as well as maybe put on a couple more miles per hour to that old famous of Maserati Marv. So I do think that there's a chance that we see a huge jump in Marvin Harrison, and I think next year he's going to be one of those untouchable type of wide receivers that'll be really hard to pry away. So at the moment, hard, but next year could be almost next to impossible, potentially, by the end of the season. So I'm trying to get in now. Well, there is that open window, something I really like to do on rookies post year one on those guys that disappoint. That's the player time to strike is prior to season two. And I still think you're early enough. Week one's going to be tough because they do get a very easy New Orleans team. So there's a good chance that Marvin Harrison explodes and may be really hard to get. So not that you need to make moves now, but this one may be ASAP now. Go and get Marvin Harrison prior to Sunday. But again, sometimes trades take time, and we do have to be patient as dynasty managers. All right. Look at that. Already halfway through the episode, we are cruising. And before we get to the next two here, we got to cut the break, and then we will come back, and we'll talk about one more buy, one more sell.
Hey, it's Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast. Football season is right around the corner, and there's no better way to lock in your fantasy dominance early than with best ball on DraftKings, where you draft once and ride your roster all season long. And right now, DraftKings is giving all customers a can't-miss offer. Draft one, get one. Enter a lineup in the $15 million best ball contest for just $20, and you'll score another best ball ticket to play free for a share of $15 million, giving you a second shot to win big. It's easy. Just draft your team once, no weekly management required, and let your top scorers automatically start each week. Across the whole season, every breakout start, every clutch play, every touchdown will count toward your quest for a share of $15 million. You want to start your draft with Ja'Marr Chase and come back around with Joe Burrow? Get yourself a nice little Bengals stack? You definitely can. You want to try to play the ADP a little bit and scoop some value on rookies? You could definitely build your roster that way. You could do anything you want in this $15 million best ball contest. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now to draft your $20 best ball lineup to play for a share of $15 million. And get a second ticket to play free for a share of $15 million. That's two chances to win big without ever setting your lineup again. Draft one, get one. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per customer. Enter the Best Ball $15 million Headliner Contest by September 4th, 2025 to get one bonus entry. $20 entry fee required. Reward expires in 30 days. See terms at DraftKings.com/NFL-Best-Ball. Sponsored by DraftKings.
Welcome back in. We talked a buy in Marvin Harrison Jr. prior to break. We talked about a sell in Saquon Barkley. So the question comes is, who's next? We're going to talk about a sell, and we're going to talk about some tight ends today. Two tight ends as a sell, and we'll go quarterback, actually. We got a tight end and a quarterback. Which one's which? We're going to find out now. The sell is Tucker Kraft, Green Bay Packers. Yeah, I'm not there. I'm just not convinced that the breakout is coming from Tucker Kraft. I'm in on the Green Bay Packers offense. However, I'm in on the quarterback side of it. Not going to talk about him today, but Jordan Love is a good buy, personally, in my opinion. However, there's a better quarterback that we're going to talk about as a buy here, at least value-wise. I don't say he's better. Love's better than the other quarterback. But Love, still good dynasty buy. Off track. So let's rewind back to Tucker Kraft here. Yeah, a lot of people are convinced it's coming. The breakout's going to be here for Tucker Kraft. We saw him kind of push a little bit of those fantasy limits last season. Yes, he was productive, top 10 tight end, but let's be honest, 10's not that hard. It was like 9.6 points per week. Like, not that crazy. It's not like he was top 8, top 5, like where I think some people are expecting him to make that jump. The issue I have with Tucker Kraft is that he didn't see consistent volume. He only saw 5 targets in 6 of the 17 games last season and was only a tight end 1, so top 12 tight end, just 5 times. That was it. And that got him to top 10 numbers. So the tight end is abysmal, and there are inconsistencies in it. However, people are really pounding the table for it to become Tucker Kraft's season. The problem I have with that is he's not in a situation that would be volatile to this jump. Okay. Typically, when we're looking at tight ends and how they kind of break out, is typically one of the top 3 targets in the offense, more so top 2. And he is not that at all. He does run a lot of routes. He's out there a lot. Played 83% of the snaps, ran a route on 88% of those, was among the top tier of tight ends last season in both of those. The issue is that he only saw 14% of the team's targets, which isn't bad, but again, it was 4th last season amongst Packer pass catchers. So, not ideal. It also only a percentage, like I said, not very much the first read in the offense. Only 38% of these were first read targets, which was 46th amongst tight ends. So like completely not really the main focal point or planned to see these targets on these plays. He's kind of, again, much like Trey McBride was last season, the safety blanket, kind of the dump off, play's gone awry, where's my guy? And Tucker Kraft is either breaking down the seam or he's underneath to get the ball just dumped off to him. Like, it's there, okay? Understandable. I get it. He's a focal point of this offense to an extent. The issue I have is they got even deeper at the receiver position with Matthew Golden. You've still got Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, and Christian Watson. Now, I know Watson's not going to be involved a lot. Reed's coming off an injury. So, yes, you have some people, some question marks here where you might see Wicks or Kraft early have some value. You're going to see Wicks early. You're going to see Doubs. And you're going to see Matthew Golden. For me, the issue is that I think Matthew Golden's going to see a lot of this target. The Packers don't pay up for receivers, and they did for Matthew Golden. I think Golden and Doubs will be key points of this offense, more so than Tucker Kraft. And it just feels like Tucker Kraft is more so a guy that is the 3-for-30, fall in the end zone, have a couple big weeks, and pushes up tight end rankings. That's just what it feels like. He's got the ability to press the seam. He has the ability to make some plays after the catch. He has the speed to kind of break it when it's an open area. So there are positives to Tucker Kraft. I'm not saying he's the worst tight end in the world, but for a position that we're traditionally only starting 12, there's definitely 12 other tight ends that I would rather have than Tucker Kraft in Dynasty right now. So I'm not buying it. I think that a lot of people are, and I think that's what opens up that sell window for me. When you can find the opposing views, that's what opens up windows. If you don't believe in someone and somebody else does, that's where you can make a deal. That's where the trades can happen, and that's where you can get value back for your player. So, yeah, that's it. That's in a nutshell. I just don't believe that Tucker Kraft is going to break out. I don't think that he's much more than an average tight end. He's like Hunter Henry, you know, a guy that, yes, he's productive at times. Maybe he has a tight end 10, tight end 8 season here or there. Is okay to have, but people are like way in to the point where they're saying he's like, you know, top 6 type of tight end. Like, that's not there for me. There's plenty of other players that I would rather have. I would definitely trade up to the TJ Hockenson's despite the age, TJ Hockenson's, or trade down from Tucker Kraft to Dalton Kincaid or Brenton Strange, some other players, and add other pieces around that from Tucker Kraft. So that's where I am at. I feel like that's the category where he's is. Like Theo Johnson, you know, Tucker Kraft, Theo Johnson, off the top of my head here, Brenton Strange, Elijah Arroyo, Dalton Kincaid's probably in that territory, Jake Ferguson, like these guys that are fringe tight end ones, not like groundbreakers, but don't really have tight end one upside. You know, like Dalton Kincaid probably is the one of that. Brenton Strange could have some pretty good upside as well. A very good athlete. Theo Johnson. Like, there's some more upside to those guys than Tucker Kraft, in my opinion. So I'm not saying I'm going straight up for Kraft at Theo Johnson. Don't get me wrong there. Don't mince the words there. Just I'm fine downgrading to them with adding other pieces if I have somebody else than Tucker Kraft. Like, I don't want to start Theo Johnson. I'd probably still ride Tucker Kraft. But if I can add, say, Dalton Kincaid for Tucker Kraft, like, I'm in on that 100%. Who we could have talked about. Another guy that I'm buying, Dalton Kincaid, tight end position. All right. Last but not least, potentially least, depends on how you feel about this guy as well, but that's where the buys and sells, different opinions always help. Quarterback, the only quarterback we're going to talk about today, and that is one potential rising star after a fall from grace, Trevor Lawrence. It was thought to be generational. There was many people who have easily been able to say Trevor Lawrence was a bust. I disagree. I think that he's had a tough go, some very ups and downs in his career. He's flashed high upside, shown some low lows, but he's had a bad beat. Coaching staffs have been a mess. He's been injured. The team around him's a mess. Lots of things. But this year feels like the stars are aligning a little bit. We've got Liam Cohen, some excitement there. You've got Brian Thomas Jr., who broke out as a rookie last year. You've got the two-way player in Travis Hunter. You've got a backfield that, question marks, but has three productive potential players there. A youthful tight end in Brenton Strange, who we just talked about. Lots of love, lots of fun. Potentially with that offensive mind of Liam Cohen, there's a lot to like about what could come from the Jaguars' offense in 2025. And beyond, to be honest, with Trevor Lawrence being locked up in a pretty good contract, it adds some security to investing in him in Dynasty. So I think he can be a top 12 quarterback, very low end top 12, like 11 or 12. Very Christian Kirk-esque here for the next few seasons to come. Yes, is he generational? The answer is no. I will agree with you there. However, still very productive. Last year, not so much, so we're going to look a little bit away from that. He did only complete 60% of his passes, which was bottom five amongst qualifying quarterbacks at FTN data. However, he was top 10 for the most drops in the league, with 4.6% of these passes being dropped. So, wasn't also getting too much help in that completion percentage either. So we could see that bump up a little bit. We also saw him near the top in explosive play rates, which is over 20 plus yard plays at 11.3%, was eighth amongst the quarterbacks. So again, kind of not taking the easy underneath completion types that can boost and pad your completion percentage. He was just chucking it to an essence. So we could see that drop a little bit, which would probably raise his completion percentage. I'm not too worried about the talent. I think Trevor Lawrence has the ability to make most of, if not all, every throw the NFL coordinator will ask him to make. It's going to come into harnessing it, getting an offensive line that can block and keep him upright for a bit. They have tried, they have invested. Hopefully that can kind of come to fruition this year. And again, the playmakers on the other side catching the ball a little bit more will only help boost Trevor Lawrence. Like the old age-old saying, a rising tide rises all boats. So, if we're expecting Travis Hunter to be elite to an extent, Brian Thomas to be at least elite to an extent, the guy throwing him the football has to be pretty solid. We've seen that from players like Tua Tagovailoa. We have seen it from Kirk Cousins for years. We have seen it from Derek Carr. We have seen it from Matthew Stafford. So, these players, when there is production at the other end of the football, the guy throwing the football tends to be pretty solid. I'm not pounding the table for Trevor Lawrence to be a top 10 dynasty quarterback. I am not pounding the table for him to be your only quarterback in, say, a one quarterback dynasty. But in Superflex, Trevor Lawrence is a screaming value right now and a player that you can get for pennies on the dollar. Again, another player, much like Marvin Harrison, that you might want to make the move a little sooner than later just because I'm sure post week one, there's going to be a bump in price. So small window. It's a later episode for this. So apologies there. But I think it's worth the play to try and make a push for Trevor Lawrence prior to the season. If not, even after week one, you might be able to still have some decrease in value, even if it is a strong performance from Trevor Lawrence in week one. All right. That's it. We talked about four players, two dynasty buys, two dynasty sells. Hopefully, you can get a chance to invest in them again. Like we talked about at the top of the show, it is all about your league, knowing your league mates, understanding the market in your own league, and only you do know that. However, you can convey that in the FTN Dynasty Discord, which gets you a little bit more personalized advice. So again, head on over, check us out. Before you get out of here, rate, review, and subscribe the podcast. Also follow FTN Fantasy and all the socials, as well as myself at Pope's FFH, Blue Sky, and X. And as always, thank you for the listen. Take care.